Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here on a Wednesday, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We are also that free download in your Google Play Store, the iTunes Store, the 101.3 ESPN app. And if you're using that Amazon Echo, you just ask Alexa to enable 101.3 ESPN. Mistake of the day winner from the huddle, that goes out to Keith in South Burlington, who called me on it when I said it was Tuesday, but it was Wednesday. So Keith in South Burlington is up for consideration for that 101.3 ESPN baseball cap, thanks to Joann's Uniforms in Colchester. Short show today. Again, Yankees-Red Sox lineups we'll have for you in about 12 minutes. Part two of the Ryan Russillo interview is coming up here in about 3 minutes. We had a chance to talk to Ryan earlier today about what he's done since he's left ESPN. Part one available online already. Part two available after the show ends here. But first, some interesting news and notes regarding the America East. It is time for local fans to really appreciate and cherish what we have in the America East, and more specifically at UVM. I don't know how many people saw this yesterday, but Joe Cremo, who had been the best player on the UAlbany basketball team, the biggest rival to UVM, he announced he was transferring from UAlbany. He's graduating early, so he's going to be a graduate transfer. He is going to Villanova. Joe Cremo of UAlbany of the America East is transferring to Villanova, and oh, by the way, he might start there. For the national champs, for the defending national champs, a kid from the America East is going to play. This instantly credits the America East. Okay? Top coaches, and Jay Wright might be the top coach in the country at this point, won two titles in 3 years. They are coveting players that are in this league, in our backyards. If you are a fan of America East basketball, you should be welcoming this news that players that are playing in this league are being sought after by the best program in the country right now. Right now, Villanova is one of the preeminent programs in college basketball. I mean, Duke, UNC, Roy Williams, Coach K, but Villanova and Jay Wright, they're right there too. Okay? So this instantly credits a league that is capable of bringing in players that are high major caliber players. It also, you need to change the way we appreciate the coaches in this league, because I understand Joe Cremo was not a player that could play at Villanova 4 years ago when he stepped on the campus at Albany. But it's a credit to Will Brown and his staff that got him to that level, in the same way that it's a credit to John Becker and his staff for how they have developed the Trey Bell Haynes, for how they have developed the Anthony Lambs, for how they developed the Kurt Steidel back in the day and Ethan O'Day. Players that play in this league, players that play in these programs, they're valued commodities, and the coaches in this league are doing phenomenal things. So the next time that somebody says, oh, if John Becker leaves, it's not that big a deal, it is that big a deal, because he is part of an elite group of coaches that are developing really strong players that, again, are being sought after by national championship caliber programs. Okay, and for programs like Villanova that are losing players to one and done, or lose players to the NBA, or lose players to graduation who just go to the NBA, for them to be coming down to the America East and seeking those kind of reinforcements, again, is a real testament to what we get to watch here on a nightly basis, especially here in Burlington when it comes to UVM. The other thing that this proves to me on the other side of the coin is that the NCAA possibly changing its transfer rules would decimate a program like UVM. I've thought that from the beginning, and this confirms it. The NCAA is talking about a rule that would allow players to transfer without having to sit out. And that then, to me, would make it the wild, wild west. And you would see, now that we're seeing firsthand, players in this league are sought after by much bigger programs. You come here, you get a year or two of seasoning, you get 3 years of seasoning, and then another program that's a much bigger program wants you. That would happen far more frequently than anybody here cares to admit. And anybody here cares to think about. If Joe Cremo can go from Albany to Villanova, you don't think that some coach will come calling for Anthony Lamb? You don't think that some coach would have come calling for Treyvell Haynes after his sophomore junior year? The NCAA changing that transfer rule would be awful for a program like the University of Vermont. And this just confirms it. Joe Cremo going to Villanova. These players are valued commodities, and they are valued by higher-level programs. All right, that moves up to our second part of our conversation with Ryan Russillo. Ryan Russillo, UVM grad and former ESPN radio host. He left ESPN radio in December, but is still continuing to work at the company, and he's out in L.A. now trying to write a television script. So we talked to him earlier. Part one's available online, and in line with what we just talked about, I asked Ryan Russillo, I said, Ryan, you have been big with the NBA Combine for a number of years now. We're trying to get Treyvell Haynes to the NBA. He wants to play in the NBA. How difficult is it for a guy who played at this level to get that look at the next level?
You know what, though? It's everybody. Well, it's obviously it's difficult, so I could just answer it that way. But I like the Combine because I've found myself more and more through the years. This will be the ninth year I've gone. And I've noticed guys, like when T.J. McConnell was out there, I went, my God, he is absolutely inhaling these other point guards. And I meant that defensively. He owns, like one kid looked like he retired at halftime. There was some foreign kid they brought in that thought he was going to be a borderline lottery pick. No one had ever seen him. They threw him out there, and he couldn't bring the ball up the court against McConnell. And McConnell abused all these guys. You know, Rashawn Holmes is somebody who was really good. Kuzma was terrific in the combine last year. So is the most important thing? No, of course not. But everybody likes to make these combine jokes as if it's the most pointless exercise, and it isn't. I mean, it's the interviews, it's the medicals, you know, the strength testing at that age, especially for basketball players that are all skinny and have long arms for the most part anyway. Like, who cares what their testing is? But there have been certain players that stand out. And my favorite one is Kawhi Leonard. Like, Kawhi came out, and all he had heard was he couldn't shoot. And so he rolled out a rack of balls, grabbed a kid from the NBA to rebound for him, and he took shot after shot after shot, and he took him in front of every GM. Like, every single GM was lined up in their courtside seats, and it was in between, like, game one and game two, and he decided for the 15 minutes he was going to go out there and show everybody his form. And he did it on his own. He did it by himself. No one told him to do it. He just did it because he's like, I'm sick of hearing about. Because Kawhi was like this weird, undersized post up four when he was in college, and you didn't know really what his perimeter skills were. So he was like, look, you guys can say all you want, but like, my shot's not as broken as everybody makes it out to be. And who knows? Maybe the Spurs saw something that day.
Ryan, we'll get you out of here on this. I just got an offbeat question for you. So I know you are friends with the guys from Pardon My Take over at Barstool Sports, and I like them too. And I met PFT in the airport in Minneapolis at the Super Bowl and totally bombed my intro. So I have wanted to get those guys on for a long time, and now I'm convinced it will never happen. Is there ever a guest that you really wanted to get on that you just couldn't make happen?
Man, there's definitely guys like that, you know. Trying to think, there was somebody that was just so, you know what's funny too is that I used to ignore Big Cat forever. Like, he annoyed me so much on Twitter before I really knew him that I kind of didn't like him, and then I went out of my way to never respond. And he turned into that, trying to get me to respond, and then we had a guy who I'm great friends with be like, hey, I hung out with him in Chicago all weekend, the guy's awesome. And I was like, all right, whatever, okay, fine. I'm working on Larry David for the podcast, but I don't think that that's impossible. So I have an in there. You know, we always want to try to get Elway on the show. That didn't work, but I wouldn't put Elway at this like level of, oh my gosh, we're never going to be able to get him. You know, that's the cool thing about ESPN, they got almost everybody we want.
Yeah.
You know, Bill Russell was a good one because I got him in Boston because he doesn't ever do any big interviews. Okay. We got him in Boston. I'll tell you guys a good Bill Russell story.
Okay.
We got him in Boston. I think I was, you know, 27, and I was really pumped. And he was great. And then I did a reset because I wasn't driving the segment. And I said, Hall of Famer Bill Russell. And he goes, hey, do you mind, you know, only, like, Bill can talk so slow, but it's so commanding. You know, it's just the way he, and then he laughs out of nowhere. And you kind of wonder if the interview is going awful. And then Bill Russell starts laughing, that laugh that's unique to him. And you feel so much better. So we come in and I reset and I go, Hall of Famer Bill Russell. He goes, do you mind if I correct you? And I'm like, oh man, like, you know, it's my first year at the station. I'm like, we got Bill Russell, he's a huge kid. Everybody's watching through the glass expecting us all to screw it up.
He says, if you are going to introduce me, I prefer you say captain of the Boston Celtics, because that to me is more important than being in the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
I'm like, man. So fast forward a couple of years, I have a contact with his agent, and I'm at ESPN, and I said, hey, look, I had him on in Boston. I know he hates doing these things. It would mean a ton to me. You know, historically, my father and I, you know, the way we just revere the man, you know, really laying it on, which I definitely stopped doing as I got older because it just didn't matter. I didn't say yes or no. And the agent was like, oh, ESPN? I go, yeah, you've heard of it? And he's like, let me tell you a little story about what you guys did. And this is hysterical. So when they did that Sports Century thing in 1999 and the 2000 for the top 100 athletes of the century, Russell originally was in the top 10. Russell asked, okay, who's ahead of me? And he didn't like a couple of the names that were ahead of him. So he goes, you know what? You've interviewed me plenty of times. There's nothing left to say. Like, I'll be fine. Like, you don't need to fly a crew out here and spend all day with me and ask me the same questions they were going to ask. He just doesn't like doing interviews. And they were like, okay, fine, Mr. Russell, we totally understand. And then when the list came out, he got dropped like 7 more spots, allegedly. So he said that then his agent then, this is, you know, 10 years ago, he's like, he'll never come on again. Now, I think he's done a couple things here or there. It might have been with another player or something. But that was something, like, I'd still love to get a chance to interview him again.
Yeah.
But, you know, his guy kind of let me have it quite a bit on that one. But I always loved that story that, He didn't want to do it because he was mad he was too low. And then if he got dropped, the way the story goes, then he was like, now I'm extra mad.
Hey, Ryan Russillo, UVM grad, former ESPN radio host, but you still check him out with the podcast. And it's great stuff. Enjoy listening to it. And hopefully we'll be seeing you on the big screen, the small screen somewhere soon. And since you're out in L.A. now, I hope you still make a once-a-year pilgrimage to Burlington. I know it's a lot tougher, but we hope to see you up here soon.
Yeah, I hope to make it back this summer. Say hi to everybody for me. Thank you.
We will. Ryan Russillo, there was part 2 of our interview. If you missed any of it, 1013ESPN.com. Red Sox Yankees lineups right now. Rick Porcello, he's 5-0. He goes up against Masahiro Tanaka. Lineup behind Porcello. Betts in center, Benintendi in left. Hanley the DH. JD Martinez in right. Bogarts at short. Moreland at first. Nunez at second. Devers at third, hitting eighth. Leon the catcher. For the Yanks, Gardner in left. Judge in right. Gregorius the shortstop. Stanton the DH. Sanchez the catcher. Hicks in center. Neil Walker at first. Andujar at third. And Torres at second. That'll do it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow. Arnie's back, 101.3 ESPN.